God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
The God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I had said for many years on my radio program that eventually you are going to be taken. And I liken that to the movie with Liam Neeson. You've seen this film, perhaps. It's a very violent film. Also contains some nudity, and it's not all that family-friendly. In fact, it's not family-friendly a bit. But in this film, he plays a father who has some kind of nondescript role in his past. He was some kind of, I don't know, person hunter, assassin, CIA type, incredible set of skills. And his daughter is seized by kidnappers. She's a legal adult age, taken captive, and is going to be sold to the highest bidder, obviously for perverse reasons. And Liam Neeson, at one point, the girl is hiding under the bed, and Liam Neeson says to her, "You're going to be taken. Listen to me." And he's on the phone with her. She's panicking. And he's telling her, describe everything you see. That what they smell like, what they sound like, their shoes, everything you see. You're going to be taken, but this will help me find you. It's a harrowing film. It's a great, great scene. I mean, so well written. And Liam Neeson is a fine actor. The young woman who plays the young woman is a fine actor. So what I'm going to tell you isn't fun, but it's the truth as I see it. We are being taken. You are living through what is, in fact, a form of fascist takeover. You are watching it. Now, like a fish cannot see that it's wet, it's difficult for us to see beyond our participation in something. But let's take some steps together. So over the weekend, the CEO of Telegram, Pavel Durov, was arrested in France. Telegram is an encrypted app that allows people to send private messages difficult for governments to break into and to monitor. The Telegram app is, the CEO has been under great pressure by governments to let them have a back door. They say this is, of course, to protect children, because as you know, the leaders in Europe are vitally interested in protecting children. It really matters to them. That's why they, for decades, allowed kids to be hormonally and surgically altered for pharma, because they're vitally interested in protecting children. They're so interested in protecting children that they allow pornography in schools, in fact, push it in schools, in fact, push kids to interact with men pretending to be women, because they're so obsessed with protecting the children, which is why they back abortion at all costs, because they're deeply obsessed with protecting the children. Which is why the vaccine schedule in America has gone from one or two before the age of one to something like 80. There's been a concomitant increase in autism. I'm not saying it caused it. Correlation is not causation, but man, the numbers are striking, aren't they? Same is true in Europe. He was arrested probably because he will not censor his app. Now, the CEO of Rumble, which is a video sharing service, a wannabe competitor to YouTube, nowhere near their size. Fine service, just nowhere near their size. Rumble CEO Chris Pavlovsky fled Europe. So he wouldn't be put in prison. You're living through it. You are in it. The world is being taken again. Great news. God was there through World War II. This is a different thing. I'm not saying there are holocausts to come. God willing, there won't be, other than the unborn. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we're being taken under fascism. And some people want so much to be on the winning side, or simply cannot see that they are a fish soaked in water, that they cannot observe what's happening. And so, like many people who came out and spoke on behalf of every fascist dictator, it's happened every time. But therefore the people, therefore the children. My mom was on vacation in Italy and got invited into the home of some Italians. They were eating food, and this woman took pity on them, saying, "That's not Italian food. This is junk food. Please come home. We'll feed you the right way." So she and her cousin went and stayed with this family. They told stories through the night. And in the morning, the man who ran the family, the father, the patriarch, said, "There's something you need to see." And he took my mom and her cousin to the statue of a man, and he knelt and wept. It was the statue of Benito Mussolini, a brutal dictator and a fan of Hitler, because he cared about the children. Olivia Troy worked for Mike Pence. Now she wants you to believe backing Kamala Harris's coup is how to honor what she calls democracy.
"Those values made me a Republican, and they're the same values that make me proud to support Kamala Harris, not because we agree on every issue, but because we agree on the most important issue, protecting our freedom. So to my fellow Republicans, you aren't voting for a Democrat. You're voting for democracy. You aren't betraying our party. You're standing up for our country."
Kamala Harris received exactly 0 votes. She got delegates, but no votes. She has seized power. That is a fact. It is inarguable. Gavin Newsom giggled. I'll play this for you later this week. He giggled when he was asked about the switch. And he said, "Well, I've been told to say it's very transparent." He giggled. She seized power. You're living through it. And God was with the people in World War II. He's with us now. He is using this right now for his own good. Some of us just can't see it yet. Sometimes God works that way. RFK Jr., on the other hand, dropped out and endorsed President Trump.
"Three great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. And now to throw my support to President Trump, the causes were free speech, the war in Ukraine, and the war on our children. We were the party of labor, of the working class. The Democrats were the party of government transparency and the champion of the environment. Our party was the bulwark against big money interests and corporate power. True to its name, it was the party of democracy. As you know, I left that party in October because it had departed so dramatically from the core values that I grew up with. It had become the party of war, censorship, corruption, big pharma, big tech, big ag, and big money."
Can this be argued with? I mean, in any legitimate sense. The Democrats, with Obamacare, invented a brilliant business model, and it's being used in the assault on people's natural gas stoves. It was used with COVID and the forcible injection of people with blackmail. Here's the business model. We will force you to purchase products from companies you don't like for services you don't need at prices you cannot afford. Brilliant. And we're living through it. And God is in charge. RFK Jr. attempted to get the Mockingbird media to understand, or at least admit, what's being done to our kids.
"It is now occurring at age 10 to 13, which is 6 years earlier than girls were reaching puberty in 1900. Our country has the earliest puberty rates of any continent on the earth. And no, this isn't because of better nutrition. This is not normal.
breast cancer is also estrogen driven, and it now strikes 1 in 8 women. We are mass poisoning all of our children and our adults.
The fact of the matter is there are distinct patterns in the health of kids. By some measures, about 1/3 of kids are on psychotropic meds, antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. Now, here's a fun fact about those. Remember that whole serotonin reuptake problem? You know, there was not enough serotonin and or it wasn't being properly processed through the brains. Yeah, that never happened. That was never a thing. In a largely unnoticed study, it was shown, proven that, yeah, that doesn't occur. People who make antidepressants will tell you, we don't know how they work. They just work. Do they? We're one of the most depressed nations on earth. By some counts, 2/3 of Americans are on pharma for the rest of their lives. You're watching it. A woman has seized power on behalf of pharma. She's one step from being elected, maybe. Maybe. To the presidency or on being installed. And you know what's funny? It's so weird. And God's green earth that he provides for us. My truck worked this morning. God bless my wife. My coffee was ready at 4 o'clock in the morning. My dog was there to meet me. My friends are still here. My friends are still having children just as they were. People did through other fascist takeovers. And you're living through one. RFK Jr.'s VP pick, Nicole Shanahan, talked about what the DNC and the Mockingbird media have done to their campaign.
Start this campaign. I did not put in tens of millions of dollars to be a spoiler candidate. I put in tens of million dollars to win, to fix this country, to do the right thing. I will say that Clear Choice, this PAC, this DNC-aligned PAC that was created specifically to take us out, has spent millions of dollars to take us out. They have unfortunately turned us into a spoiler. They have banned us, shadow banned us, kept us off stages, manipulated polls, used lawfare against us, sued us in every possible state. They've even planted insiders into our campaign to disrupt it and to create actual legal issues for us.
That is, at worst, at best, it's some skullduggery. It's at worst the manipulation of a presidential campaign for gain. I remember when that was a very, very bad thing. I remember when that was an act against democracy. Do you remember that? That was a long time ago, you know, like 6 months. See, you're being taken. These are acts of fascism. To seize power in this regard, and they can't seize the ultimate power. That's the thing that just amazes me. The more I remember I am a traveler here, the more comfort I have. I'll talk about this tomorrow in some depth. I had a very, very important discussion with a friend of mine, with whom I've become quite close. And in this discussion, I learned that I have become seduced by the things of this world. No affairs, no porn use, praise God, nothing like that. It's a simple and stupid thing. It's taking something good, this is what Satan does, taking something good, in this case, my pursuit of physical health, and using it for a bad outcome, which is starting to regard myself in the flesh. That's bad. Likewise, the good thing, the so-called democracy, our Republican form of it, Satan's using it for a bad outcome. You'll hear good and bad when we continue. RFK Jr.'s VP pick on the Harris campaign being a cover-up for something, and Russell Brand, the actor, comedian, commentator, really is maturing in his faith in Christ. That next on The Disciples' View.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I was just mentioning that I have this belief that what we're living through right now, and it's hard sometimes to see what you're living through. Years later, you can look back and go, oh, wow, we were really in a bad place. We understand we're in a precarious position in the country. I mean, that's very clear to most people, but you are actually living through a fascist takeover. And I know that sounds arm-wavy and hyperbolic, and it sounds like I'm trying to scare people, and I have no desire to do that. I'm really just designed to say God's still running things. He has let this happen to countries before, countless times. It is simply our turn. Let's review, then we'll move on, including some great news just to show that God is, in fact, still at work. In this case, through Russell Brand, the actor, comedian, turns commentator, political commentator, interesting man. He accepted the Lord Jesus about 3 months ago, spoke about it publicly, is continuing to mature in his faith and to read the word to people. Praise God. He's got a huge platform. So let's just review. Kamala Harris has seized power. The people who run her seized it for her. She has no votes. Therefore, all the nominations was completely fraudulent. There were no nominations. It was a coronation and an act, period. She was so unpopular in the prior year, 4 years ago when she ran, she had to drop out before Iowa. She never got to 1%. She was still that unpopular until they decided to invent popularity. I learned this morning that apparently the Harris campaign is offering free trips to people. Yeah, all expenses paid, you know, to go attend rallies. They're flying in audience. Not only has she seized power, they're giggling about it. Gavin Newsom giggled when he was asked about the switch to Kamala Harris. He said, I'm supposed to say it's very transparent. Happened like a half an hour. Ha, ha, ha. He giggled. I promise I'll play the sounds for you this week. The woman is speaking about seizing the patents of companies because she has the will to do it and not a vote. And the Washington Post, who says democracy dies in the darkness, has not come out and said, hey, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to have votes? Isn't that what conventions are for? I mean, there was a Republican primary. Nikki Haley stayed in it until the last second. That was a primary. People voted. We're not only living through that, we're living through the business model of the Democrat Party saying to big donors, we'll force people to buy your products. Oh, you want that natural gas gone? Sweet. Easy. We'll make them purchase electric. We'll make people buy electric cars. Easy. You want them to take that mRNA injections? We'll force them to do it. Easy. Big college, big universities, you need more money? Easy. We'll make college a right. Big developers, you need people to, you need to move more houses? Fantastic. We'll make housing a right. Great business model. And it's fascism. It's business and government become one. That is the actual definition of fascism. And it's all for the people. Kamala Harris accepted her nomination on behalf of the people, a woman who got zero votes. Accepted the nomination on behalf of the people, none of whom voted for her. You're living in it. This is what it feels like. Nicole Shanahan is the vice president pick for RFK Jr. Of course, you know RFK Jr. has suspended his campaign. He's endorsed President Trump. I'm sure you know RFK Jr. is effectively an abortion extremist. I'm sure you've heard, and he said this some years ago, perhaps he truly has changed, that if you're a world leader who doesn't believe in the climate catastrophe, you should be put in prison. Perhaps he's changed that view. He is a pretty far left on most things, except for the choice whether to inject yourself or inject your kids with poison or not. He believes in the deep state. He believes it's real. He believes the government killed his uncle and his father, at least JFK. And I believe the same thing. I think the evidence is on the side of that. So there's a whole bunch of things to differ with them on. You may think it's insane. No, we've looked into this. It was Lee Harvey Oswald. Fair enough. That can be debated. Here's what can't be debated. Nicole Shanahan put tens of millions of dollars into this campaign. Now, she had that money, so she can spend it as she wishes. She didn't do that for nothing, as you might say. And she went on and talked to Dr. Drew. Nicole Shanahan thinks the DNC is a cover operation.
Really confusing what is going on over there and where their direction really is, or if it's just a day-by-day cover operation.
For?
Well, let's unpack it. What is it for? I mean, what is this party's cover operation for? I think they're covering, they're covering their tracks from basically gutting democracy over the last 10 years.
Freedom,
free speech, the censorship.
Encroachments on freedom, centralization of authority and things like healthcare.
Yep. Yeah. Problem is now that their new hat trick over at the DNC is to remove third parties from ballots that they rightfully have been on.
And they're forcing Bobby to do something. They're forcing him to join other teams.
They forced him, not to do that, to join another team. But they showed him, you're done. See, we've taken over. The Kennedys are no longer the royal family of Democrat politics. That's over now. Now it's the Obamas. Interestingly, did you see what the younger of the girls is worth? Not Sasha, Malia? I'm sorry to disremember her name. I mean no disrespect, but one of the Obama girls, is her net worth is $8 million. Because of her, the things that she did, like, being an Obama and such. Very important things. Lots of activity. That's hard work to be an Obama. The President Obama and his wife went into office with some money. I mean, the books did well. He probably didn't write those, but they did well. And they're now multi-billionaires. Business and government become one. Well, as you know, they're both very talented screenwriters and directors, but wait, they're not. No, they had a big background in executive producing films. That's right. That's how they... Wait, no, they don't. Let's pause. They don't. But now they're the royal family of politics. And God laughs at the wicked. He laughs at them. Chuckles. Look at their plans. God is still working. And praise you, Father God. If you don't know this gentleman, I hope you'll get to know this gentleman. He was an actor and a very, very, very good one. Funny comedic actor, great range. He was in several movies where he played very diverse characters. He's truly an artist. And he decided to devote his life to political commentary from his home. And now he's got a great platform. Huge. Oh, he's been banned. I think YouTube banned him. And then he went to Rumble. And then I think YouTube let him back. And he was banned from Twitter. And then Twitter let him back. Of course, he's being banned because he's speaking about things you're not to say in ways you're not to say it. About 3 months ago, he accepted the Lord Jesus as his savior and agreed to be baptized. He's allowing the Lord to change him. I want you to hear this. Praise God, Russell Brand continues to grow in his faith.
This verse is famously used at weddings, but someone told me that a good way to use this verse is to substitute the famous love is patient, love is kind with your own name to see if you are up to scratch when it comes to these qualities. So instead of saying, as Corinthians 13 verse 4 does, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, Russell is patient, Russell is kind, Russell does not envy. Russell does not boast. Russell is not proud. Russell does not dishonor others. Russell is not self-seeking. Russell is not easily angered. Russell keeps no record of wrongs. Russell does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Russell always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Russell has got a lot of work to do. It helps me to recognize that love is something I can be a vessel for. And even when I'm dealing with air here, I could be choosing to ensure that my conduct is always up to the standard. We live in this time of bewilderment. I think how many times you hear people say, kids don't come with a guidebook. You know, there's no manual for living life. There is. This is it. I don't know why I assumed I knew what was in this book without looking at it. I should ensure in my conduct that I'm being patient and honest and loving and useful and sweet and I'm easily angered, man. I think of how easily it is to be on eggshells around my children. There's so much improvement that can be made. How lucky we are to have the opportunity to change.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Praise God. I would just add this. So Russell is an artist. He is familiar with all forms of art. So let me say it this way. We can all, most of us can learn to play an instrument. Some well, some not. We can work at it and get better. We cannot be the instrument. We cannot become the violin or the guitar or the piano. A piano obviously cannot play itself. It is a piano. The violin is a violin. But they cannot play themselves. They need us to make the music. God is the violin in the music. He's the fingers that play it. He's the air through which the sound travels. He cannot unbe those things. He is love. Just as much as water is something you drink, he is love. He is kindness. We can be given a guitar. We can pick it up and we can hold it. We could even buy it. And yes, we can play it, learn to play it, maybe even play it well. We do not become the guitar. It's handed to us. We can pick it up on our own off the stand, and perhaps you prefer an open tuning, a drop D. Some people play a drop E. Weird sound. Actually, kind of cool. But you do not become the guitar, nor do you become the music. Something you hold. And then you die, and it's gone. Well, someone else can hold it. God is love. He is patience. He is kindness. He is temperance. He is self-control. God is all those things, unchanging and unchangeable. What's remarkable about this is Russell Brand gets this. He says, I can be a vessel, I think he said, a vessel for love, a conduit for love. Mm-hmm. But this is incredible. You can have love in you. You can be a person who does nice things as an atheist. My sister is a very compassionate person who has walked with me through very difficult times. I don't know how she does it. Because she does not have the Holy Spirit. And I see it manifest in this way. Love for everyone but herself. We're called to love ourselves, to give ourselves grace, not to be prideful, but to love ourselves. I love my sister dearly, and she talks about hurting for having female friends. When we become part of the body of Christ, we are becoming part of a body where people have had love inserted into them. And patience inserted into them. How? With the Holy Spirit. God is love. He is patience. He is kindness. He is self-control. He is temperance. He is long-suffering. He is light. He is good. The Holy Spirit is God. Every bit as much as the Father is God. And Jesus Christ is God. One God, three different manifestations. we get to have love inside of us. We can blunt it. We can allow our flesh to override it. Just like if you've ever played guitar, you know what dead strumming is. Dead strumming is where you make a chord, but then you deaden it with one hand so that the chord doesn't ring out. It doesn't sing. With the hand with which you strike the guitar, the strumming hand, you are having your wrist or side of your hand against the strings, so it just doesn't sing out. You can blunt it. But we can't be it. Now, here's what's remarkable, though. Think of this. We have the Holy Spirit within us, which is love, which is kindness, which is patience. We can draw on that like fuel that never runs out. When we die, we will be with kindness. We will walk with love. Perhaps we'll be able to touch temperance and self-control. I mean, we were able to touch the Lord Jesus when he was here. Why would we not touch him then? Praise God for working through Russell Brand. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We will continue. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. At an incredible series of events this weekend, I tend to have big things happen to me during my birthday. I don't know why God decides to do that. Maybe it's something I'm subconsciously constructing, although I don't think I have that power. And I'll tell you in detail about this. I promise tomorrow. There's so much news we're covering today, but I promise to tell you in detail about this tomorrow. Suffice to say, man, you don't wake up 400 pounds on a 200-pound frame overnight. That, unless you're in that movie, The Santa Claus, that does not happen. Likewise, you do not wake up and go from someone who has been very much in the Word, very much living through the Spirit, and a being of the flesh overnight. It's a process. But man, in my case, it was fast. 3 months. Maybe it was happening longer than that. I was unaware of it. I promise it's not sexual. There's no porn news. Praise God. Praise God. Haven't looked at that stuff in, oh gosh, decades, 30 years. Praise God. Yeah, I admit I've looked at it. Men should do that. Men should admit these things. We have to. Otherwise, there's a whole generation of young men who think that the norm is to look at it and not talk about it. I mean, and that is the norm. But it shouldn't be. Not among Christian men. Am I making you uncomfortable? Sometimes this makes men uncomfortable, this discussion. I didn't intend to talk about porn. I intended just to tell you tomorrow I'm going to talk about how I accidentally slipped into regarding myself in the flesh. And Satan, man, once he gets a toehold, he's really good. He's super good. Taking something positive, pursuit of health and fitness and the fun related to that. And then twisting it awfully. In my case, it didn't get super bad. Just caught myself doing some things. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Maybe you've caught yourself from time to time. I want to get to a quick note before we get to the Tower Babbling and wrapping up the show. This comes from Ted, listens to AFR online overseas, writing to us from Israel. Dear Todd, I listen to AFR overseas on AFR.net. I'm writing to you right now from Israel. Thank you for pointing out that the United States is funding both sides of this war. We do talk about this over here. We're aware of it. It's a deep frustration. Thank you also for making a difference between the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and our government. I concur with you that our government has become corrupt. I happen to believe that we've brought a lot of our destruction on down onto ourselves, given our acceptance, as you call it, of the sexual left. Like you, I stand against what pharma's become. Unlike you, I don't think all pharma's evil. What I wanted to ask you is, do you personally stand with the Jewish people? I've never heard you say it. I assume you do. As a Christian man, you're supposed to. Do you personally stand with the Jewish people? Love the program. Thank you for putting God at the center. P.S. I am a Christian. I'm over here on a mission. And it's a very difficult place to be a missionary, Todd. Well, thank you for the note and for listening, and I pray for your safety. I stand, of course, with the covenant God made with the Jewish people. Therefore, of course, I stand with the tribe of Israel. I disagree with much of the government that you, as you pointed out, much of the government of Israel for the reasons we've discussed on the program from time to time. Do I stand with the Jewish people? I stand against anti-Semitism. I stand with Israel. I stand with Jewish people. I just don't believe there's such a thing as the Jewish people. Nor do I believe there's such a thing as the Christian people or the white people. In the case of the body of Christ, there should be the Christian people. We should agree, but the schisms exist. So I don't know that we do agree. I know that there's these schisms, many, many of them. So the Christian people, the Jewish people. I think I can answer your question precisely this way, more precisely. I stand with God's covenant with the Jewish people. I stand with his covenant with the tribes of Israel. I stand and believe that we are to defend their covenant, that we are to help defend Israel, the country, even when it's wrong, as Christians. I think we're called to do that, even when the government's done some wrong things. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't hold them to account when they do wrong things. We should, just like we should hold our own to account. Appreciate your note. And I don't know that that's a satisfactory answer to you. I would, by the way, love to hear about being a Christian minister, and on a mission in Israel. That would be fascinating. If you've ever done that, write to me at the Todd Herman Show. I'd love to know what that is like. On this program, we have a little feature here that we use to thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. It's almost always three sound bites. A White House economic spokeslayer says the U.S. food prices are good news because, you know, there's like no famine.
Our economy is more resilient to the types of challenges that we faced. For example, you know, with respect to food, we're a net exporter of agricultural commodities. And obviously the high prices are hitting Americans very hard, but in a way that is different from some places that are facing famine, for example.
Well, yes, it is different in that regard. But famines start somewhere. They start somewhere, often with price controls. Because farmers and ranchers have choices, price controls. Hey, you know what? I'm going to stop growing this core staple item because the government won't let me sell it for more. I can't cover my costs, so I'll do something else. Or I'll sell it elsewhere. They can go ahead and say, you know, we're not going to have the exports. So you know who thrives in that environment? Guess. Big Agra. Why? Because they can come along and say, hey, you know what we have? We've got some fake meat for you. It's not nutritious, but man, it fills up the gullet. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling As California AG Kamala Harris raided the home of an independent journalist, seized his work, and prosecuting him for exposing Planned Parenthood illegally selling the body parts of aborted children.
Consider his explicit intent to set free violent extremists who assaulted those law enforcement officers at the Capitol. His explicit intent to jail journalists, political opponents, and anyone he sees as the enemy.
Consider it. The things you have done. Orrin Shire works for or with Alex Jones. I don't know their agreement. I know it's Alex's platform. He went to prison for speech. Maybe, you know what, I know he's an independent journalist and there are people who deeply disagree with him on this network, but maybe we could get Steve Bannon to come and make comment on this when he's, you know, out of prison. There are countless lawyers who are facing disbarment because they, you know, spoke of their opinion on election fraud. An opinion with which I concur, by the way. Not in all cases, but in some of the key ones. Does that mean I'm going to go to prison? Well, only if Donald Trump gets back in office, because he's literally orange and very literally Hitler. Oh, I've been talking about this. I'm glad it's in this program. Here it is. This is Gavin Newsom. He can't stop giggling as he pretends there was no coup.
There's an intangible. It's different.
How are you feeling about the switch?
I mean, the switch. Now, we went through a very open process, and a very inclusive process. I was bottom up. I don't know if you know that. Yes, that's what I've been told to say.
Yes, it was it was a blitz primary, I believe that's what they called it.
It's a very, very fast blitz. I think it was a blink primary, so we call that.
Oh, a 30-minute convention?
Yeah.
You know, between a tweet and another tweet.
It's amazing how it happened.
Yeah,
it's
That's some funny stuff, though, isn't it? That that Gavin Newsom was told to pretend it was transparent. I always find coups in my country really funny. Have you seen someone giggle when they get caught? There was a movie. I don't know why movies are on my mind today. There was a Gene Hackman movie that Wes Anderson directed. It was about a dysfunctional family. Does anyone remember that movie? I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was a fantastic scene where he and Ben Stiller are in the scene. And Gene Hackman plays this kind of derelict father, and they're in this. They're having a discussion with a therapist, and it's the son's therapist, and the son is expressing frustration with his father. Oh, it's the Royal Tannenbaums is the movie, expressing frustration about how he's raised, how his dad raised him, and his dad says, "Well, Gene Hackman, the father goes, I wasn't that bad. I mean, I wasn't that bad of a father." Ben Stiller says, You stole $30,000 from my trust fund. Gene Hackman's response is this. Well, that's Gavin Newsom. Yeah, it was a coup, but worked. What's that phrase? Something about the ends justifying the means? Who said that? Was that a communist? And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Now, no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house. It's on your laptop, and it's then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
The cloud is not above us. The cloud is not above us. Does she know that? I'm checking for a friend. I'm hoping she knows that. Had a surprise birthday this weekend. And a couple things happened during the surprise birthday. First of all was this. It was a surprise. My wife hasn't done that in many, many years. And it was a blessing. The other was, it was a surprise. And my life is structured so tightly that surprises are hard for me because of the amount of media I do. So being surprised with, hey, we're leaving and going to your favorite city. Well, not my favorite city. One of your favorite cities in Idaho to live a favorite lifestyle of yours, which is on the lake. And your daughter and her boyfriend are coming, and we're hoping kind of they get married because we really like this young man who gave his life to Christ, and he's smart, he's gentle, he's entertaining, he treats her as the daughter of the king, he is patient and kind, and they're coming. So here's the flash in me. What? A, I'm really thankful. B, I can't just change. I've got commitments here, and I have so much content to produce and so much show study to do. I have to plan for these things. Praise God that God stepped in. Hey, buddy, I manufactured loaves and fish. You think I can't stretch your day for you? So lo and behold, we got family dinners in. My daughter, who's a vegan and a brilliant cook, got to share her talents with me and with us. I did get to take her boyfriend out for a workout and a talk and to hear again about his progress in the faith. And he looked me in the eye and said, thank you for taking me for a workout. Thank you for spending time with me. So I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning twice. I do that all the time. So I had to drive 2.5 hours round trip to keep a commitment here. It was a beautiful drive. And I got this. I got to step back and look at what God did to stretch time for me and to remember some things. Last year, about a year and a half ago, a surprise offer came for me to attend a pastoral residency. And it isn't about becoming a pastor. That may happen. My church may make that decision. I don't know. They may call me to do that. I don't know. I'm not seeking it. When I made the decision to do this, it was explained to me that it would be 6 to 8 hours a week. It turned out that it was the first time they've done this remotely with someone like me. It was 18 hours a week. You know what? God stretched days. He manufactured more hours for me. Utterly remarkable. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God decides we can all speak again together. May the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understandings rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.